So good to see everyone tonight. We're very happy for your presence. We do have several who are visiting with us, and especially we are glad that you are here. I do want to publicly commend Aaron for the good lesson that he presented this morning. Such a fine lesson, and biblical lesson, and so well presented and well illustrated. There are so many young people here who are younger in the faith and yet are always impressive to me because of their faith and their dedication to God, and that is an example to all of us, no matter how old we are. And we certainly have a good number of those very, very faithful young people among us. It's good to have everyone here. There are a lot of things that we could say about Jesus, and a lot of things that people certainly did say to describe him 2,000 years ago when he taught on the earth. But certainly one thing that is absolutely true about Jesus, he was challenging to people. He was absolutely challenging. He said things that were not only profound, but he said things that were absolutely relevant to the lives of people who were listening to him. And it challenged them. It pricked their hearts. It made them think about things that they needed to think about. Sometimes Jesus would destroy the barriers that we as human beings tend to put up from time to time. And he was so incisive in his statements that it would just lay bare a person's conscience and a person's soul. That was certainly true in those 3.5 years that Jesus engaged in his ministry up in Galilee. It was also true on those occasions when Jesus came to Jerusalem, occasions like the one that we read about in John chapter 5. The Gospel of John is a little bit different from the other Gospels because the Gospel of John focuses attention upon those occasions when Jesus would come to Jerusalem for the pilgrimage feasts. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they tend to focus upon Jesus' ministry in Galilee. But when Jesus would come to Jerusalem on those occasions of the pilgrimage feast, he was coming to the very hotbed of opposition against him. And we might think that Jesus on those occasions might refrain from all of his challenging comments. Far from it. If anything, what you see when you look at passages like John chapter 5, when Jesus would come to Jerusalem on these occasions, he would say things that were more striking and more biting and more insightfully relevant to the lives of those people, and in fact, things even more challenging than perhaps he had said up in Galilee. I want us to talk this evening about some things that Jesus says here in John chapter 5. As he is in the area of the temple, as he has been performing miracles even during that time, even on the Sabbath day, again with no fear of all those who would oppose him, even though he was doing it on the Sabbath day, they thought that was inappropriate. But Jesus going ahead and healing and Jesus going ahead and teaching in a very, very forceful way. I want us to look at some things that Jesus says here as recorded in John chapter 5. First of all, when you look at what Jesus has to say in John 5, verses 24 through 30, what we see is that Jesus makes a striking statement about himself, the Son, being the one who will execute judgment upon all men. You can read along with me or just listen as I read what Jesus has to say, beginning with verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my voice and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Do you see what a startling statement that is that Jesus made? I mean, Jesus didn't just talk about the fact that one day there will be a judgment from God. Oh, if he had said that, if he had just talked about one day there being a resurrection unto either eternal life or resurrection unto eternal condemnation, if he had just said that, that would have been controversial. I mean, the Sadducees would have objected to much of that kind of statement. But Jesus didn't just say that. Jesus said, the Son is the one to whom this right of executing judgment has been given. And of course, Jesus is talking about himself, but he words that in the third person. So maybe that might have somewhat veiled who it was he was talking about. But it didn't take long for people to listen to what Jesus had to say before it became very clear that when he kept talking about the Son and the Son of God, and the Son of God is the one who's been given the right to execute judgment, that he was talking about himself. In fact, so often Jesus would speak about himself in his Galilean ministry as the Son of Man, the Son of Man. And yet even here in these verses that we just read, Jesus connected that Son of God he was talking about with the Son of Man himself. Again, Jesus is claiming to be the one who will execute judgment one day upon all human beings. That's just a striking statement. Especially when you realize that Jesus is the one who was just some poor son of a carpenter who was going around Galilee and acting as if he was a prophet, but the religious leaders denied he could truly be some agent sent from God. And he was the one that the religious leaders were castigating as some kind of a charlatan, as some kind of a false teacher, as some kind of a false miracle worker. And far from refraining from anything, Jesus comes right into Jerusalem, right into the temple area itself, and makes one of the most startling statements of all. I am going to be the one who will judge all of you, in fact, all men one day. I'm going to be the one who will call for the dead to come forth from their tombs, and I will execute judgment. You know, some of the ancient Jewish literature in rabbinic times talks about the ancient Jewish view being that Elijah the prophet, who had gone up into heaven in the fiery chariot in the whirlwind, that Elijah would be the one in the last days whom God would use to call forth the dead from their graves. Now, it's a little hard to know whether or not that particular view goes back as far as the time of Jesus. Perhaps it did. I think there's some evidence to suggest that it did. And if so, that even makes Jesus' statements here a little more challenging and arresting, because Jesus doesn't claim to be Elijah, but Jesus says that he is the one who will call the dead forth from their graves. But no Jew ever thought Elijah was going to be the judge. Jesus says, I'm going to call the dead forth from their graves, and I'm going to be the judge. And I'm going to be the one who will judge everyone according to my word. And that's what Jesus indicates here. The standard of judgment that he's talking about is going to be his word that he was teaching. And Jesus knows that most of those people who are listening to him are people who have not been accepting his word. Jesus says, my word's going to judge you. That's challenging, folks. That's absolutely challenging. You know, there are a lot of people in our day and time who say that they follow Jesus and say they follow Jesus' word. But you know, when Jesus talked about him being the judge and his word being what would judge us on the last day, Jesus was obviously talking about his word as He intended his words to carry meaning. There's a lot of different denominations that you see in our day. There's a lot of people who claim to be a church of Jesus Christ. We ourselves in this place are claiming to be a church of Jesus Christ. Jesus is challenging us, though, and is indicating that it isn't just a matter of saying that you are a disciple or saying that you are a Christian. People in that day and time said that they were followers of God, and yet Jesus is challenging those statements and saying the way that you truly prove that you are a follower of God is if you accept me and my word, and Jesus means by that what he meant by his words. Those are bold claims. And I'll tell you, Jesus goes on to address, I think, the issue, the question that would immediately come to someone's mind when this carpenter's son from Nazareth comes into Jerusalem and makes such bold claims as that. Here's what Jesus goes on to say next. He says, my Father is the very one who has testified concerning me. Look at verse 31. If I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies of me, and I know that the testimony which he gives about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified in the truth, but the testimony which I receive is not from man. But I say these things so that you may be saved. He was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do testify about me that the Father has sent me. You know, after Jesus would make a bold claim that he would be the one to raise the dead and he would be the one to judge the dead, the obvious question to come to people's mind is, well, why should we believe that? And Jesus acknowledges that issue. He says, if I alone bear witness or testify about myself, my testimony is not true. I take him to mean by that. It's not worthy of being accepted as true. Anybody can come on the scene and claim anything. And the mere fact that a man claims something doesn't make it worthy of being accepted as true. But Jesus says, there's someone who is there to testify concerning me and to verify and confirm that what I'm claiming about being the judge of all men is absolutely true. And he points out, I'm not talking about John the Baptist. And indeed, John had testified about Jesus. John had been the one who had testified that the Lord had said to him, the one upon whom the Holy Spirit would descend and rest upon, that was the one who was the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. And John had given that affirmation about Jesus. But Jesus says here, I'm not talking about John. I'm not talking about some kind of human testimony or some kind of confirmation of me coming from men. He says, the Father himself is the one who has testified concerning me. Jesus, how has the Father testified that everything you're saying is true? Jesus said, the works that I do, they testify about me. These are miraculous works that only could come from the hand of the Father. And you know, that's what's so, again, challenging about Jesus. You can't just slough off his claims as, well, he's just some crazy man, or he's some charlatan, he's some fraud. You can't just dismiss what he's saying, because even on this very occasion, he comes to the temple area and there he heals the man who was lame. Man, everybody saw every day. He did miracles like that all the time. And he didn't do these miracles in private where maybe only one or two people, you know, saw, and then later they said, well, I've seen some. No, he did miracles where there were all hosts of witnesses there. And the ultimate miracle, the ultimate way in which Jesus did a work that was clearly the Father miraculously working through him, was when Jesus claimed that he was going to rise again from the dead on the third day, and lo and behold, 3 days after they crucified him, his tomb's empty. Sure enough. You know, there's a reason, folks, why so many people in our day and time don't want to believe in the miracles of Jesus. There's a reason for that. Because, folks, if Jesus really did miraculously heal people 2,000 years ago, if Jesus really did rise from the dead 2,000 years ago, then that absolutely proves his claim to be the judge of all men, the one who will judge in accordance with what he has taught. You know, if I'm a person who's ignoring the words of Jesus, if there's something in Jesus' teaching that I really haven't liked, that I really don't want to accept, I sure better hope he's a fraud. I sure better hope that those witnesses were mistaken when they said that they talked to him after he'd risen from the dead. I sure better hope that somebody went to the wrong tomb, as some have claimed, or that somebody thought they saw Jesus alive again, but really it was just a mirage or something. I sure better hope that's the case. I sure better hope that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead and didn't really do all of these miracles, because if Jesus really did rise from the dead and all those works that the witnesses claim they saw him do, if they really are true, then that means Jesus is the one before whom I'm going to stand one day on Judgment Day. And if I haven't been doing his will, I don't have any hope. I don't have any hope. Because I can't say to him on Judgment Day, well, Jesus, but the Valrico people, we were a bunch of good people, and now I wasn't doing all the things I should have been doing, but I'm with a bunch of people that are really good. The judge is not going to look at me and be swayed by any of that. And if I say, well, but I never bothered to really make sure that how I was interpreting Scripture was really what you meant. I just kind of went with what seemed good to me or what kind of fit with my lifestyle that I wanted to live. That's not going to do it for me either on Judgment Day. So I better hope. I better hope he's a fraud. I better hope he was just a liar, just a charlatan, maybe in it for the money. I better hope that something like that's true. Because if I'm not following Jesus and I'm not truly seeking to look at his word and make sure I understand his word and make sure my life is fitting with his word, if I'm not really doing that, one day I'm going to stand before him on Judgment Day. And Jesus said, you're going to be either resurrected to life or you're going to be resurrected to judgment, eternal judgment. I won't have any hope if all that's the case. Well, look at what else Jesus says as he goes on with this discourse. He talks about how a lot of times people claim they love God, but they really don't. In verse 37, beginning, he says, "And the Father who sent me, he has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he has sent. You search the Scriptures, because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Those are powerful statements. Jesus is talking to a crowd of people, remember, who have assembled there in Jerusalem, not because that was the vacation spot of ancient Judea. It's not because they'd taken time off of work and so they were going there for recreation. They had all come to Jerusalem for the pilgrimage feast. All to worship God. That's why they were there. And Jesus is speaking to these people there in the temple. And the temple is the house of God. That's why they've come there, to worship God. And it's to those very people that Jesus questions whether or not they really love God the way they say they do. He says, you search the scriptures. Some of your versions may render that as an imperative. Search the scriptures. I think more versions take the original there to refer to a statement. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. That is, you are Bible-beating people, we might say. You're very religious. You search those scriptures, you read those scriptures, and you imagine that the fact that you're going through all of that motion, that just indicates how righteous and godly you are. But Jesus challenges all that. He says, you don't believe me. And I'm the one whom the Father has sent. You don't accept my word. And yet I'm the one whom the Father has sent. Jesus also makes a startling statement here when he says, you know, there are other people who don't come in the name of the Father. They come in their own name, by their own authority, their own credentials, and you receive them. Isn't that true of us as human beings? You ever gone to the bookstores and just noticed how many self-help books there are in those categories? I want to tell you what. I mean, you can go to the bookstore and you can find anything you want to find on how you can improve your life, whether you're talking about psychologically. There are all these books written by Dr. So-and-so. And so I've had people come to me and say, oh, this is a great book. And it can help you increase your self-esteem. It can help you in dealing with your problems. And people just get enamored with all that. And I'm not saying that there's no value in any of that. But what I'm saying is people very readily latch on to that kind of thing. There are self-help books in regard to diet. I mean, there's always a brand new diet coming out. And whether it's low carb or high carb or, you know, carb this or carb that, whatever. It always irks me that you always have to refrain from eating what you want to eat in order to lose weight, you know, and there's some different way to go about doing that. And then people come along and say, oh no, you can eat the things that you want and you can lose weight. And I'd love for that to be the case, you know, but people always got some new way of handling this and people follow them. Oh yeah. They've got high recommendations. And people have, there are books out there about health, and if you use this weight loss machine or use this kind of exercise device, it will improve your health, or this kind of tonic or whatever it is. This will improve your health immeasurably. And people, as Jesus says here, come upon their own authority. Just with their own claims, their own credentials, or at best, it's other human beings who've given them recommendations. And we as human beings, we accept those things very readily. But here's the Son of God. And he comes on the scene. He's not coming on his own authority. He's not testifying about himself and that's it. No, the Father himself is the one who is giving his confirming testimony upon Jesus. And people don't accept him. Jesus says, you seek the glory of men, but you're not really trying to glorify God. You're not really loving God. You look like you are. You come to the worship place and you come regularly and you do these religious acts. You search through the scriptures and you study and you read, but you don't really accept Jesus and his teaching, all of his teaching. You don't really do that. And Jesus says, you don't really love God. You don't really love the Father. If you did love the Father, you'd love and follow every single solitary thing that the Son of the Father has said. Just about, about maybe 6 months ago, I was holding a meeting in another state here. And the local preacher there was telling me about an occasion just a short time before when a preacher had come with his wife to visit there. And in fact, that local church was supporting him and his work where he was preaching. And he and his wife were staying with this local preacher, and they were staying in their guest bedroom down in the basement area there. And so this local preacher was telling me how he and his wife were upstairs and they heard this loud commotion down in the basement. And this arguing and just screaming at each other. Couldn't help but hear it because of the volume level. And here was a husband screaming at his wife, and they heard various sounds and commotion, and finally, after a while, it was time for them to leave and go to the services or whatever the activity was. And so that visiting preacher and his wife, they came up out of the basement, and she had bruises all over her face. She said, "Oh, I fell. I tripped and fell." And the preacher whose house it was, he then shortly thereafter had the occasion to pull that preacher aside and say, "This is wrong. I don't know what the problem is that you and your wife are having, but the way you're treating her is absolutely wrong." And he argued and said, "Well, she wasn't in subjection to me, or this or that, or she wasn't doing it." That may or may not be, but you don't have a right to treat her that way. You're supposed to love her the way Christ loved the church. That's what Paul talks about in Ephesians 5. You're supposed to give yourself up for your wife. She's bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. You can't treat her like that. And you know what that preacher said? He said, "That's the Bible. But this is real life." That's just what the Bible says. But I'm having to deal with real life. Folks, I'm going to tell you what. Jesus didn't come to Jerusalem on this occasion to talk about some ethereal concept out there. Maybe some ideal that it'd be real good for us to follow, but, well, it's okay if you don't. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "I've come, and I'm going to be your judge one day. But I've come now because now's your opportunity to accept me and accept my teaching, and you will be saved, and you will not be judged to eternal condemnation, but instead you'll be resurrected into eternal life and forgiveness. But now's your opportunity to accept what your future judge is now teaching you." And he was teaching about real life. He was teaching about what's to be implemented in our everyday life. And he said, "One day, I'm going to judge you as to whether or not you've done that. As to whether or not you've kept my word. And if you're not willing to accept me and my word, then you don't really love the Father who sent me. Not really." Tell you what, folks. Challenging teacher. Challenging teacher. What do you think about Jesus? Is he a charlatan? Is he a fraud? Is he a fake? Maybe he didn't mean what he said. Maybe it's just hyperbole, just exaggerating. Maybe it's just a story. Is that what you think? Is that really what you think? Or do you know that this is true? And one day, you're going to stand before Him. He'll be your judge. Is there anyone this evening who needs to make a change in their life? Now's the time to do it. Now's the time. Jesus is willing to accept your repentance and accept your dedication, or your renewed dedication, if that be the case in your life, and you're beginning a life of discipleship to Him, or you're returning to a life of true discipleship. Whatever be your need, I hope you'll think seriously about what this challenging teacher has to say to all of us. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?